Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:06 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
And we are joined right now by our new friend, Ann Severing Rowe. Ann is calling us from the Central Chamber Corral. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us, Ann. We appreciate the time and really appreciate being able to put some focus on your folk songs and hymns that's coming up. This is the 51st season of this for you guys, I see.
That's correct. We're not counting the season we couldn't appear live.
It's understandable. Yeah, that makes sense. Ann, what can we tell people about this event in if they have not heard of it before?
Well, we'll be singing at the First Congregational Church in Wisconsin Rapids and on Friday, November 11th at 7:30. And we really appreciate the church hosting us because it's a wonderful, warm environment to sing in. It's a very comfortable environment for us. And we're going to be doing three songs as a tribute to the 150th birthday of Ralph Vaughan Williams, an English composer. And then we will be featuring American folk songs and folk hymns in the second half, including an arrangement of Shenandoah by our own musical director. So it's not the one that we've done in the past. It's a new arrangement that was arranged by Dr. Richard Brunson.
Wow.
So that'll be a lot of fun. And he also arranged an African-American folk song that was a work gang song that came to him. Somebody gave him a stack of old music they found someplace.
Hmm.
And he saw that one and thought that would be a great one to arrange for us to do with a folk song tribute.
Wow.
That is really cool.
That's a very cool idea. Wow, that's great.
Huh. And then we're doing a beautiful tribute to the victims of September 11. It was written by American composer Rene Clausen, and he did a larger work called Memorial, and one of the songs in that is the Kyrie, and that is kind of the cleansing and healing hope theme at the end of the memorial.
Hmm.
And so we're doing that song, which is really just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of our favorite modern composers, Dan Forrest, set a folk song to a current arrangement of his, and it's called The Song of the Wanderer, is his title to it. And he's just a wonderful composer for singers. There are some composers who don't emphasize the singer as much, but Dan Forrest is one of the modern composers who really honors the singers in his arrangements.
Hmm. And that all sounds wonderful. I do want to talk about the different events that you guys have going on, including the one coming up next Friday here in Wisconsin Rapids. But before we get to that, about how many singers are in the chorale?
We're a little bit smaller after the pandemic. Some of our singers haven't come back post-COVID.
Mm.
But we've got about 30 singers, and we really are from Central Wisconsin. Unfortunately, we don't have anybody from Wisconsin Rapids singing with us right now, but we range from Medford, Loyal, Spencer, Granton, and Marshfield, Arpin. So we truly are Central Wisconsin focused.
Mm-hmm. Very. That's really interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Ann. How often do you guys get to rehearse?
We rehearse once a week. We start just after Labor Day in the fall. And in the fall, we always perform the weekend before deer hunting season begins. So that's a known quantity. In the spring, we start up after January 1st, whatever is the next week after that. But the date moves according to the calendar because we try to not hit some of the spring breaks, Easter, Palm Sunday. So that's a moving date.
Yeah. And I was looking at the website centralchambercorral.com, and anybody can go there right now and take a good look at so many of the great things that Ann is talking about and that you can look forward to with these concerts. I have to recommend people, if they haven't done this already, check out the history section on there. I thought I understood your guys' history. I didn't realize how much it encompassed and how embedded it is right here in central Wisconsin.
Yes, and with our 50th anniversary last spring, the founder of the group came back and spoke and wow. was recognized at the intermission.
Oh, is that cool?
That's really cool. Will you share who that is?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, now his name just
Dr.
left my
Jerry Schroeder?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
And I cheated. I have the website in front of me. So
perfect. Yeah, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. I just think that that's really cool.
I just did a blank on it. But
yeah, it happened.
No, it was wonderful to have him with us. And he did the first concert. He pulled together a group of people to work on his PhD presentation. And they did it old school with having a phone
wow.
in front of the group.
So oh, my goodness.
People judging him could hear the group sing. But he kept it going after that, and he is so pleased that we've kept it going after that.
Yeah, and not to have you speak for everybody clearly, but for yourself, why do you continue to do this? Why do you think that the Central Chamber Chorale continues on?
Well, the people in it really love music and love to sing, and it's a good form of relaxation and health, mm-hmm. In my opinion, that we go, to this effort. And if I go to rehearsal and I'm tired and maybe cranky or have a headache, if I sing for 2 hours and rehearse, I feel more relaxed afterward. Mm-hmm. And there's camaraderie, and it's just a real wonderful sensation.
Very well said. Thank you for sharing that, Anne. Because I ask because whether it is something like this or, there's a lot of community theaters in our area, there's a number of things like this where people do them. They take their personal time to rehearse or to put into this, the travel time, all those things. And I love asking a question I know the answer to. and I know where you're going with that because that's... there's so many people out there that can relate to that are a part of other things or even the chamber itself or a similar thing to it, where we put our time into these things, we do these things for a passion, we love to do them and really love to bring these things to our community, to our different communities in the state.
And our accompanist, Micah Brunson, is just a delightful accompanist. She herself is a good vocalist as well, but she's very good at playing with us and makes it an art form and just fun to be with. And to your other question, before I went into the history a little bit, we also perform at Abbotsford in St. Bernard's Catholic Church on Saturday evening at 7:30 and in Marshfield Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church.
So if someone wants to come to your event on the 11th in Wisconsin Rapids, what do they need to do? They need to purchase tickets or just show up? Or what are the details?
Up.
Awesome.
It's free admission. We support, it's been our tradition and our mission to bring the music to everybody without the barrier of cost. So we do ask for donations, and I do a letter in the fall asking for donations because that's how we support the group. We also have a grant through the Wisconsin Arts Board, and for our 50th anniversary orchestra last spring, we got two grants through the Marshfield Area Community Foundation.
Mm. Nice.
That's really good to hear. And you mentioned the shows you have coming up. Let's touch on those again. You'll be in Wisconsin Rapids as First Congregational Church at 311 2nd Avenue South, Friday, November 11th at 7:30. Abbotsford, as you said, St. Bernard's Catholic Church at 400 North 2nd Avenue, Saturday, November 12th at 7:30. And then on Sunday the 13th, you'll be in Marshfield at First Presbyterian Church, 200 South Lincoln Avenue. Other than bringing a positive attitude, a smile, and getting ready to be entertained, anything anybody else should be aware of coming to these concerts?
Well, we do ask them to arrive on time because we don't like to have, some of the performances disrupted with people coming in.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But
very
even
fair.
If they get there late, they can just, our wonderful volunteer ushers will keep them outside the door until we finish a movement, and then they can come in and join us. So, but that we don't want them to miss. We're going to start out with Vaughan Williams' 100th Psalm, and it's just a beautiful piece of music. And we've got such a variety. We've got one from the 1500s, a motet, and we also have a Handel piece.
Oh.
It's a typical Handel with lots of runs and a fugue in the middle of it. So then the folk songs, there's a fun one called Whistle Maggie Whistle, where it's a call and response between the guys and the women.
Oh, nice. That's good.
where they're challenging us to whistle to get their attention.
Oh, fun.
That's awesome. It sounds like you have such a nice wide variety of songs and types of music and everything, which I imagine was fun for you guys to practice and perform as much as it is for the audience to take in.
Right, and the variety is part of the goal of this one because we wanted to... The folk songs and folk hymns are always popular with the audiences, but we get some of the meat in there, too, with classical music.
Yeah. And if people would like to maybe be a part of the Chamber Chorale or just learn more about it, how can they reach you? How can they find out more?
We have, if they come to the concert, there's a spot on the donation envelope for them to indicate whether they're interested in singing, and also then on our website, they can send a message to myself and to Richard Brunson, our musical director, and we start. He usually does a very simple audition, not that challenging, but we want people who can read and study music on their own to some degree, because with once a week practices, we need to have them be somewhat independent. But they will. He does those at the beginning of the season, so that would be early January for the upcoming season.
Excellent. We cannot thank you enough for the time, and you guys have a great run. Break a leg. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll make sure to send some people to these shows and make sure you got a full house for them.
All right. Sounds great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
For the time. That was great. That was a great conversation. She's wonderful. I do want to remind you again, the Central Chamber Chorale Folk Songs and Hymns coming up next Friday, November 11th at the First Congregational Church in Wisconsin Rapids at 7:30. They'll be in Abbotsford the next day, Saturday, November 12th at 7:30, and in Marshfield, Sunday, November 13th at 3. They got a great Facebook page you should check out. Also, you can go to find out more information, centralchamberchorale.com. That's centralchamberchorale.com.
If you have the evening free, check it out, because I've seen them. I know someone who used to sing in that group, and it is fabulous.
Yeah.
They're really good, and it's free.
They do a really nice job, really do. We'll take a quick break, come back with some entertainment news, more fun, and mornings at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you, and at 9:20 and o'clock, and continue that conversation we just had with Ann and our friends at the Central Chamber Chorale with some more entertainment talk. And I thought this was pretty cool when I saw this yesterday, Terry. Tim McGraw represented his Tim McGraw represented his late father, Tug McGraw, at Tuesday's World Series game. The camera found him wearing his dad's Phillies jersey, and they put it on the jumbotron. And the crowd.
Yeah, I saw that. It was really cool.
I got flipped. I flipped out over that. I thought that was great. Tug was on the mound and got the last out when the Phillies won the series back in 1980. Tim went to Tuesday's game with his wife Faith Hill and their three daughters, Grace, Maggie, and Audrey. Those are great names, by the way.
They?
I didn't know that's the name of their kids.
Yeah.
Those are great names. Tug died from brain cancer back in 2004, and Tim has been a huge supporter of the American Cancer Society ever since. There's a bunch of other photos circulating where Tim is at the World Series with other supporters of StandUpToCancer.org. This has been one of his passions in life, especially since his father passed. The Phillies won Tuesday's game 7-0, but then they got held to the first combined no-hitter in MLB history yesterday. This is why sports are insane. Why do people gamble on these things? If you came out of that Philly game, I watched that one. I didn't get to see last night's game, but I watched a lot of the game too. Philly, homer, just killing it. Bryce Harper looks like he alone could win the World Series right now. And then the next night,
isn't it crazy? Yeah, it is crazy.
I love baseball. I love it about baseball. But it also makes the World Series that much more interesting, I think, for a lot. Especially those of us who don't really have a dog in the race here or anything. Just kind of want to see a good series. I will say I'm kind of rooting for Philly a little bit. And this kind of stuff kind of leans me a little more towards that.
For sure.
But I'm not going to care one way or the other, to be honest. But I do love that these kind of things can created through the World Series. You have moments like this. Who knows how much awareness or money he's been able to raise for these Stand With Cancer by doing things like this.
Yeah, it is really cool. I agree.
And let's see here. So this is kind of a That Ain't Right story, Terry. I don't know. or is it? I'll let you guys decide. Harry Potter fans often visit the beach in Wales where Dobby the elf was laid to rest in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1. It's called Freshwater West Beach in Wales over there in Wales. But it's become an environmental problem because people leave tributes to Dobby, which, of course, includes a lot of socks. Local officials debate shutting down the Gratesville. I know I've seen these, read the books. I can't remember. I know, like, if he was given a sock, he got his freedom, right?
I have no idea. Lost me at Harry Potter.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't remember if you were into those or not. Okay. Mm-mm. Anyway, they decided to let it remain open until, under one condition, that visitors only take photos to help protect the landscape. In other words, no more, like, leaving items and everything.
Yeah.
That's been a problem usually at cemeteries. Like, I remember hearing about Jim Morrison's grave site being vandalized, and it wasn't vandalized. It was just people leaving, like, bottles
like
there.
Leaving
stuff. It happens at a local level, a little bit smaller, but that's more about, like, people remembering somebody.
Well, and I suppose
something.
This, especially in the beach setting, you know, like, how much of that is actually getting washed away then, swept away by the tide, or, you know, they almost need to put up, like, a receptacle of some kind, you know, like, leave your socks here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the more unique things when an entertainment source can create something that makes somebody feel so passionate and care about something so much. I think that there's something kind of cool about that, mm-hmm. to a degree. When you start messing with the planet, that's where I'm like, okay, come on, hold up here. Do you really need to? You realize he doesn't exist, right? You realize this was a fictional book.
Well,
I mean, let's.
I'd say there's some on the fence.
Yeah, that's the scary
people
part.
People think
to
tacos
me,
are sandwiches,
right? Yeah,
I mean,
what was the one Carl and I did years back? 6% of the public believe that brown chocolate milk comes from brown cows. I mean, and that was a real stat. That was not an Onion headline.
Yeah.
So you got a good point there. It's hard to argue that. One more story for you here. And again, talk about, like, I can't believe there are people that are blown away by this. So Cosmo went behind the scenes of The Voice and came up with some interesting facts you may not have known about. And there's a couple of these that are interesting to me, but there's one that people are freaking out over, and I cannot believe, like, I wanted to check and ask each one of them, like, how old are you? Like, do you still believe in, like, this and this and this?
So, like, my mind is running wild now, what you're gonna spit out here.
It's the first one here. The coaches' chairs really don't make that loud whooshing sound when they turn around. It's added post-production. Do people really think they did that?
Yes.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
Haven't you heard my chair here? Wait, that's bolts falling to the floor.
Bolts. Yeah, it's different. That's different. That just seems like so self-explanatory to me, I guess. I don't know, but I should admit, I'm crazy. I dissect all this
stuff. Could you imagine how disappointing it would be to go there and be in the audience and then not hear the whoosh?
Yeah, I
mean, that's sad.
Got a spoiler alert for you. You're going to have a lot of those kind of things. On the Conan show, I even had this happen to me. And again, this is my wheelhouse. But the Conan show, I was so excited to go to that. Could not wait. I was worried that we would get we would have good seats. We get there. They're all good seats because there's only like 200 seats. There's only like it's almost as big as our studio here. Maybe if you included WIRI, it would be about how big the studio was. It really wasn't that big. They had more room backstage than in front of stage. There's a lot of those kind of things, that the tricks of TV, if you
know. Or like when there's a commercial break.
Yeah.
Or if you've gone to a professional sports game of some kind, you know, and they're like, oh, we're on commercial break.
Yeah.
And people are like, what?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah.
What's the hold up here?
What do you see at home? You know?
So, yeah, that about the coaches' chair. Another one, once contestants are on a team, they don't pick their own songs. Their coaches do. Contestants are not paid, but they receive a stipend to cover living expenses, and catering is pretty sweet. There's even a Starbucks on set.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
Contestants sign a contract agreeing that they might be edited in a way they, quote, may be disparaging or defamatory or embarrassing and may expose me to public ridicule, humiliation, or condemnation.
Dang. I can see why they have to sign that, though.
They have
because,
to put that,
you know what
yeah.
I mean? If there's
yeah.
something silly that is TV worthy, you know, I'm not saying anything bad, but if there's something, it's all about the ratings, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, ultimately. So I can see, and 20 years ago, though.
Oh, yeah.
25 years ago, they never would have had to have signed that.
No.
You know what I mean? We're just in such a different world.
Yeah.
That. Well, I don't know. It is what it is.
For one, you brush up against somebody, then get offended.
Right.
But also, everybody's got a camera now. Everybody. And there's so much more. Like, it used to be you mess up or something like that, and even if somebody was recording it and it was on social media or something like that, okay, it's a little rough, it's not that bad. There are people that have to quit their jobs because of these things, and because of an embarrassing video out there. I'm not saying like an embarrassing video like they said like a wrong word or something like that. I mean, you know, something embarrassing happened. They walked out there and their fly was
wipe
open
out or something.
Yeah, they fall on their face or something like that, and then a billion people are watching it, and their career is kind of like already wrapped up. Now, there's plenty of people that can bounce back from it. And I will say, too, as an entertainer, we know what we sign up for. If you're signing up for this because you want that big break, you understand that there's a cost and a, you know.
You got to figure out how to bounce back. You got to take your lumps, right? Like, you got to figure that out.
That's part of the game. That's part of how you figure out who's going to make it or not by the people that are willing to stick it out.
So I'm not surprised that they have to sign that, but I can see how people, like the general public, would be surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, the whooshing chair, that's really disappointing.
Contestants sign a contract agreement of all those things, and then contestants are at the mercy of their coach's schedule. Season 1 contestant Vicky Martinez says she once waited until 3 a.m. for CeeLo to show up so she could rehearse and record. That does seem a little difficult.
Yeah, that's too bad.
That is messed up, yeah. After and not surprising, like, you're not going to hear the name CeeLo for a long time, everybody. That's he's speaking of being canceled and everything. After being eliminated, contestants have to leave immediately, but they're consoled by a mental health professional on their way out. That's kind of a cool, I think. I don't know if everybody needs that, but if you don't need it, you keep moving.
Right.
If somebody needs it, you'd rather have it than not.
Oh, sure.
And don't. Look, let's do it 50. Let's even give them the benefit of the doubt 50-50 here. 50% of this, they're doing it because of good reasons. They care about human beings. This is all goes back to number two or number three, signing that agreement.
Sure.
They don't want to get sued.
And hopefully they have that mental health professional available to them probably, the next day or the next week, right? Like, in the moment when you're walking out is a little bit.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I think they need a little time to think.
And contestants don't interact with Carson Daly that much. He splits his time between The Voice in L.A. and The Today Show in New York, so he does a lot of flying back and forth. But those were the biggest things to come out of this article, it sounds like. I've never watched one episode of this show, but all of these things seem like... seems like it's a pretty interesting show. Seems like it's
so,
great, you know?
I don't watch it. I mean, like, I wouldn't intentionally have to sit down to watch it, but it's been on, or like Randy and the girls will have it on. And I'm a Blake Shelton fan, so.
He's done
after this season. But I just, it is interesting. And I do like it, but I also am a huge Carrie Underwood fan, which, you know, she came through the American Idol system.
Right.
So I don't know. I think it is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite one, though, is America's Got Talent. Because that's everything. You know what I mean?
You see
all different kinds of... They are definitely signing some kind of disclosure because you see a lot of silly stuff on there.
Well, and you just never know, what time how that's going to go with those America's Got Talent shows, because there's, like you said, the variety. There's so much.
But it is fun. It is fun to see what people come up with.
It seems like it would be. If it's your thing, if you're into that kind of stuff, which more power to you if you are. That sounds like a good time. Let's go ahead and we're going to go ahead and take a break in a moment. Before we do, I did want to touch on one other thing. This Sunday, we've got a weekend full of great, you know, lineup stuff. Of course, this weekend at 7 a.m. over the Sunshine Polka Show will be at 7 a.m. because of the Badger game being on at 9.
You can polka in your jammies.
Yes, you
can.
Yeah. And now normally the Over the Back Fence and the Sunshine Polka Show on Saturdays, Over the Back Fence at 11, Sunshine Polka Show at noon. Be sure to spread the word about those shows. On Sundays, we have Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8. He's always got a fun theme that he does with those and puts so much work and time into them and scouring for these songs and everything. Does fantastic work with that. And premiering last Sunday, and we have our second episode coming up this Sunday, Director's Cut, WFHR's Director's Cut. This is our opportunity to put a real, real true spotlight on our local acts, our entertainers, our musicians, authors, podcasters, crafters. We want everybody on this show. If you have a creative bone in your body, we want you on this show and to really be able to put some time onto it. This Sunday, we're going to be taking some time talking to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Really an extensive look at what it takes to make a community theater run. We talk to them all the time, but we never really look behind the curtain.
Yeah, you don't really get to the nuts and bolts of it.
We're going to have Tim with us. Actually, Seth and I are going to go there today and record the episode at the theater on the stage.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be kind of fun. And we'll have that ready for you on Sunday. Other good bits of conversation in there as well. We also love to take requests. Like if there's a movie or a song or something that you want us to review, we'll do it. We'll do it. And it doesn't have to be a new one.
Remember, it's from James and Seth's perspective.
Yeah, yeah. please get them to us, everybody. And that also includes local artists. Like Seth, we've got some connections. We've got some friends around here, so we're able to find a lot of people. Trust me, I've been trying to do this for 20 years. I've got the first 10 episodes already written.
Absolutely.
But we know there are more out there. We know there are people out there that we're not aware of or anything. Get us those names. James at WFHR, everybody. Just email me, and we'll work something out, and we'll probably end up getting you on the show.
So we could arrange, like, I mean, I'm all for local talent first, like, mm-hmm. you know, getting local people in. But you brought up the movie thing. So if we arranged, like, a list of chick flicks, you guys could...
Yep. If I hadn't already seen Frozen, Terry, you could have put Frozen on there, and I'd have.
No, I didn't even go there. But but you know, I was just thinking that I'm like, I could, you know, maybe engage like Katrina, and you know, we could come up with a list of movies for you guys to
just. You know, just, it's
okay,
going to be a lot of fun.
All right.
Looking forward to that, actually. And do want to remind everybody, these shows, if you miss them the day of, that's okay. We are all podcasted now. All of our stuff is recorded and kept at civicmedia.us. You just go there and you'll find all of our shows and stations. It's also a great way to stream all of our stations. And it's not just us here at WFHR. It's everybody under the Civic Media umbrella.
So, and is it just shows like Director's Cut, or is it things like Morning Show, Morning Magazine?
All of them.
Everything that we're live for.
Everything we're live
cool.
for. All on there, and that also includes Seth's show. It includes, you know, all of our fringe shows.
So everything we're doing local can be found there.
Civicmedia.us. Just go there and you'll find everything. And a big thank you to everybody who has already supported the show. We have one episode and I've already gotten tons of great feedback. I can't thank you guys enough for that. Appreciate you. We'll take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning's not WFHR. Oh, the fa-la-la-la-la with the Men at Work Down Under song. That's great. I like that. Welcome back. Terry and James here with you at 9:40 on the clock. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. We got some That Ain't Right stories coming up. This may be one here, Terry. It may just be a loaded That Ain't Right story. A Reddit thread recently went viral on things men are sick of being judged for, like having non-manly hobbies or ordering girl drinks and that kind of thing. Now someone on Reddit asked women to name the things that they are sick of being judged for. And we got a handful of highlights here.
Looks like a long laundry list.
Yeah. at the list here, not smiling enough. Guys are never told to smile more. Yeah, that's
probably true.
I 100% I think that's true. Yeah. And I don't want to act like I know anything of what I'm talking about. I'm obviously not a woman. I don't want to pretend like I do know something, but I will say that I've heard a lot of guys use that one, and I've never seen a woman who didn't immediately like just have a look over her face of like, who the are you, you know? Who are you to tell somebody else to smile more?
Like you've heard the saying, resting bee face,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
like that's always associated in my experience to women,
yeah.
Not to men.
Yes.
And it's literally just your, I mean,
it's just
whatever. It's
looks.
Just, yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the more ridiculous things I think one human being can say to another. Smile
Although,
more.
I think it depends how it's delivered. Because honestly, you probably have a beautiful smile. And maybe it's just some people's way of saying, you know, show it more. I think it's in the delivery of the message. But should it be said more to women than men? No.
No. And I think the context is important with anything in life. And I think there's a huge difference of saying, man, I wish you had a reason to smile more. I wish you could smile more than you should smile more or something. Like, I think there's a lot to that. I think that's a good point.
James, smile more.
Yeah. Arr, arr. Anything and everything related to weight, women face a lot more judgment about it than men do. I think that is a little closer than we might think, but it is certainly a gulf, a Grand Canyon difference.
I think
the
it's
way
true,
it is.
But I also think that it's women judging women.
Oh yeah,
more than men judging women for that. I mean, somewhat. I just do. I think, and maybe
my
it goes,
would agree with
goes back to our conversation earlier. Like when you're in your 20s, mm-hmm. then maybe it is men judging the women more. Because you're, it's just a different, you know what I mean? Like when you're, I don't know, looking for someone to, well, I guess, never mind.
Right, right.
But like now, you know, like in middle age, yeah. we are middle aged.
Yeah.
In middle age, I think it's more like women judging women. And I don't think, and I just don't think men judge other men for that because I don't think they really care.
I wonder how many of these are that, that
like,
is
do
the,
you really care?
No.
About other, about another guy's weight?
No, not
unless
once.
It's a loved one that you're very concerned
if
about.
It's
but
a
I'm just saying
thing,
in
yeah.
general though.
But not once.
You just
have
see
I ever,
someone, you see a group of people walk by.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
do you care?
Well, here's a great example. A couple of years back, what did one of the biggest trends become? Man bods. You know, dad bods, I mean, dad bods, having a dad bod. It's okay to have a little chub to you and all that. Imagine if they'd ever, would they ever do anything like that for women? A mom bod? Would that be popular? Would
I
that
think
be?
It's there, but yeah. It's, you know, the dad bod is just a new name for the beer belly. Just
oh,
FYI.
Yeah, yeah. But look what we did with that. We didn't shame men
right.
with it. We embraced it and turned it into something that now men can be proud of. Leonardo DiCaprio walking around with a belly and stuff. But women, oh, we'd never allow that. Like, that's ridiculous. First up, women have more of a reason to have weight, especially if they have given birth. You put on that extra little bit, that layer there for the protect the baby, all those things. The body is designed for this. So instantly they should have more credence with this, more or more give with this. Let alone curves are sexy, so I don't know.
so there's that.
I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding, but I mean, I'm throwing it in there. Being bad at cooking or other women chores, quote unquote women chores, in 2022, and it's 2022, and we order a lot of DoorDash these days, so back off. I mean, a lot of people aren't cooking themselves. So
I will tell you, though, so my mom stayed home with us when we were kids, right? Mm-hmm. So she was, you know, we had big meals on the table almost every night of the week, and she is a wonderful, wonderful cook. I would rival anyone to cook anything better than her. Mm. But it is funny. So to me, that kind of is a, now Randy cooks at home as well. We both do and think that home-cooked meals are important. But I do still, and this is maybe not fair to stereotype, but when I do hear one of my female friends say something like, oh, I don't cook. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't cook? Like, how can you not cook?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's just foreign.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to be a bit generational, like
yeah.
But I know I can hear what
or
you're saying.
Or sometimes people are really not good cooks.
Yeah,
and then you're like, yeah, we'll be there for dinner.
I had an ex that was like that. She liked to cook. She just wasn't very.
I'll
good
eat a sandwich
it.
Before
yeah,
I come.
Yeah, that's kind of bad. But she really put a lot of heart into it. She really tried.
Right.
Being a stay-at-home mom, a lot of people act like it's a lazy option now, or like all moms should have a job too and do it all. On the flip side, being judged for having a career while being a mom is also on the list. So,
do you know
how do women even get up in the morning?
This is just a personal thing, but this was very, very, very something that was very hurtful to me. That, and I've clearly gotten over it. Like, I'm not saying it because I'm still hurt about it, but this was probably like, so our oldest daughter is 17. So the girls are 15 and 17. And one time a lady at church said to me, and the girls were little, they were probably like 3 and 5. And I already worked at United Way, and I am very involved with other things and busy. And one time someone said to me, and she didn't mean it like she said it, but I was devastated. And she said, you know, you're just so busy. What do? Just lock those girls in the closet at home so you can, you know, and I was, and I was just heartbroken. Mm. Like, I was so,
yeah.
And it took me a long time to get over it. And I did. And now when I see this person, like, I'm not like, oh, you said that to me, you know,
right.
which is important. But it took me a long time because I was so hurt because I was always so proud of, I mean, I always felt like I was balancing things really well, you know, like being a mom and my career and other volunteer things. And I always just felt like I had a really good balance and was very intentional about it, even when it exhausted me. But I was so, when she said that, I was just like, I think I cried the whole way home.
I wouldn't blame you. But I will say you, like my mom, like so many others I know out there, warriors, like just incredible what you guys do. It's insane. It's amazing what you guys do. I look at what my mom did raising the three of us and all those things, and my dad helped a lot too, but I've been very honest about this. He wasn't home sometimes, and my mom was left to not only work the 40-hour-a-week job, but to do everything at home, and she did it. Now, I don't ever remember her complaining. I know we as kids helped a little bit, especially as I got older, helping with laundry and that kind of thing. That didn't do, what did that do? Like, take 5 minutes off of her day? Like, I mean, it's not like I did a day thinking, Greg, she did that stuff. I know you, from what you've told me, you've done so much of these things. Like, this is something that we should be commending, not tearing each other down with. And I, again, I come back to something you said there, and this doesn't give guys a break here by any means. But so much of this, and I'm not, this isn't me speaking, it's my feminist mother that raised me speaking. So much of this is self-inflicted women on women crime. And this goes back decades, centuries even, of men basically pitting women against each other, whether it was intentional or not, society after society, going all the way back to Europe doing these kind of things, where we're still playing, you know, paying the price for it now. I mean, I don't know the answers because I'm not a woman, but I do know that that is an issue. Women on women kind of like tearing each other down when you guys should be building.
That's right. You know what? It's not about the number of people you surround yourself with. Find the ones that lift you up.
Right on.
Make that your tribe and your life is so much better.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? Having 40 friends and 38 of them suck.
Yeah.
It's not worth it. Grab the two and have a great life.
Some other things on this list as we wrap it up, kind of understand, we've heard before, getting older, not being married at a certain age, those kind
James.
Of things. But here's another one that bends me out of shape. And again, I'm not even a woman, but wearing comfortable clothing. It seems like guys can wear gym shorts and flip-flops to the opera and no one cares. But a woman dresses down one moment, even just going to get the laundry or getting a mail out of the box, and everybody tears her to shreds. Like, that doesn't seem fair to me. And again, to women out there that are worried about how you look, more times than not, guys find that wonderful. Not that it matters, and not that you care what we think, but just throw it out there. If that is something that is an issue, I don't know many men that don't find that attractive. That don't find the stripped, the unplugged look,
right,
if you will.
In general, I don't really care. I personally, though, am a person of, like, there's appropriate dress for appropriate situations.
Oh, yeah.
And I really don't want to see anyone in their pajamas in a grocery store or a big box retailer. Like, get dressed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm a little judgy on that
one. Men, women, everybody. Yeah, yeah. No, I'm
not just about women, but I'm just saying in general.
Yeah,
put some clothes on.
But I mean, come on. I don't care if it's Walmart, all right? Just
put some clothes on.
For the love of God, at least cover up. At least.
I literally, about a month ago, saw three people in Walmart in swimsuits, dripping wet, like walking around. And I'm like, what?
That we've gone way too far on the other side with that one, yes.
And where were they swimming?
It's a great question, actually. And I want to follow up that one.
We don't want to know.
No, probably not. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun here at Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, everybody. It's a good idea, Terry.
I'm going to bulk you up.
Yeah. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left to show. We appreciate you hanging out with us for it. Thanks a lot for waking up with us, everybody. It's been a lot of fun today. I do want to get to some good stories of the day. A miracle baby in England recently went home after 112 days in the hospital. His mom had an emergency C-section at 26 weeks, and he was only 1 pound 10 ounces.
Ooh. That is so teeny.
Yeah. Doctors had to resuscitate him for 17 minutes before he started breathing, but now he is up around 8 pounds and doing a lot better.
So sweet. Think about you go to the grocery store and you buy a pound of hamburger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about that being a baby.
God, yeah.
That is so teeny, teeny.
This one, because of my sister being born how she was and being in an incubator for so long, this always hits close to home for me. And it always, like, God, I'm so happy when I get to the end of the story and the kid's okay.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah.
Last year, a high school volleyball star in Colorado named Zoe Rollins was partially paralyzed in a car crash. She's in a wheelchair and still has a long way to go to her recovery. But she's a fighter and has now regained feeling down to her knees. Last month, she won homecoming queen, and with some help from a parent, she managed to stand up at a volleyball game and serve a ball over the net. The place went nuts, and all her teammates rushed the court. Terry, I've got goosebumps.
Isn't that, me too. I'm actually tearing up a little bit.
I watched the video of this, and it you think you're tearing up now. Watch that video.
It's very cool.
Just watch it with some Kleenex next to you.
You know, local good story, just like kind of on that same theme. Jackie Caratini, who's a friend of the show from UW Extension,
yes.
Her daughter plays volleyball in Mozanie. And she has a son that's autistic, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie doesn't, so he's not unable to come because of noise, how the noise barrier is. So they arranged that he could come watch his sister, but they asked the whole gym to be silent for a period of time. See, I'm tearing up again. Isn't that cool?
It's such a beautiful
story. And everybody
story.
Was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, so there's a lot of that cool stuff that's going on, and it doesn't get enough recognition.
I found that those stories, and that story in particular, that one, incredibly moving.
Yeah,
incredibly.
Very cool.
Like, just a great story right there. Got another one. Sorry, my computer's acting up because we're going all emotional over here.
we're just going to wail for the rest of the
book. Yeah. The last 5 minutes of the show, it's just us consoling each other. Back in the late 90s, two kids in Virginia named Katie McNeil and Paul Damon were best friends. She secretly had a huge crush on him and tried to kiss him once, but he turned his head. Then they lost touch when he joined the Navy, but 24 years after they met, they recently reconnected on Facebook, and now they are engaged and getting married in July.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
That's awesome. That is a cool story. That's a really cool story right there. I like that.
I mean, he did kind of stiff her. I'm surprised she held the torch this long.
You better be counting your stars there, man. That don't happen very often, let me
That's
tell you.
That's awesome.
I speak from experience. You don't get a lot of second chances on that stuff very often.
Wait. If you tried to kiss James in second grade and he turned his head, now would be a good time to reach out to him.
It might be. A gym owner from the UK broke a world record for the highest fitness class, high as altitude. They led a 30-minute class on top of a mountain in Nepal at 19,803 feet.
Oh, dang.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Those are some pretty fit people, too. Think about that.
Yeah. And a 12-year-old artist from Iowa named Arsha Pal has been selling his paintings to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. He started 4 years ago and hoped to raise $1,000. He has now raised $15,000.
Sweet.
Man.
How do you find his... Do you know how you find his work?
Let me double check. Let me see here if I can do that real quick.
Let's sell some paintings today.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. I gotta...
No, okay. I didn't know if it shared it, but I just think that's...
It should have, though.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it just says Arsh Paul, A-R-S-H Paul, A-R-S-H-P-A-L. I think if you type that in your
just
search
Google
bar,
that. Yeah.
Might be able to find it there. It is a shame that they don't mention his
because
page,
that is
though.
Cool. Or
that
maybe,
really cool.
But maybe he's so backed up on orders. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's that blessing and the curse thing, but that's pretty cool.
Want to remind everybody, we got something pretty darn cool going on right here. Today, our good friends over at We Energies will be handing out We Energy cookbooks at Winterfield West parking lot at 521 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids today from 10 to 2. You can learn a bit more at their website, we-energies.com. Be sure to get one of those for yourself. And also, of course, there is the New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway. Two tickets in January to the January 1st game between the Packers and Vikings. These are club seats. Listeners are registered at a Dropbox location for your chance to win. One name will be drawn from each location. Those individuals will receive a $50 gift card from the business and become a qualifier for the Green Bay giveaway. We will be drawing a winner on... registration will close on November 28th. We'll draw a winner on November 30th. Great way to come out of Thanksgiving.
Very cool.
Get over to these Dropbox locations. Hoosel's at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, Jennings in Rapids, Piggly Wiggly in Nakusa, and a good morning to all of those businesses. If you would like to host one of these boxes, today's the final day to sign up. Give us a call at our front desk, 424-1300. We'll put you in touch with Steph, the best in the business, and we'll get you one of these boxes. Get your names in these as well, everybody. Because
if you're hungry for a sandwich, you could go to La Taqueria and put your name in the box.
And I just want to one more time
call a taco a sandwich.
No, do not do that. We, of course, our United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties is in campaign season, so we encourage you to invest in your community, donate. There are a million ways you can do that. Certainly, if you just want to send up a straight donation with them, you can. But the Re-Silent Auction is coming up. We've got the Radiothon November 16th coming up. There's a lot of different opportunities for you to add to your community, invest in your community. Terry, if people want to ever find out more about some of these things we talk about, what's the best way for them to reach you or the best way to find out?
Yeah, absolutely. So visit our website, uwswac.org, and you can find out about all of the things that James was just talking about. Or, of course, I'm always available for a phone call, 715-421-0390.
Always appreciate the time. Thanks for hanging out with us. You have a great day, a good weekend coming up.
You too.
Have a good one, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine. Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR.